I have received the official word from the One Way director. One Way will start back on the 18th. So there you go. If you heard my phone go off during the prayer, that wasn't Andrew who did that. It was my lovely daughter-in-law telling me the same thing. So isn't that nice? I should have put it on silent. And it wasn't Anna. So, how about we turn to the Gospel of John? We're going to continue to look at some things from this morning. And we saw how that there is going to be conflict when we love the Lord Jesus. And we saw, you may not have picked it up, I don't know how clear I was in putting it out there, we saw Christ's desire when this happens, and that is, he wants us to be in the world but kept from its evil. That's how he wants, that's his desire. And then we see saw Christ's solution to that, and that is to be in his word. And as we're in his word, we will become more like Christ, and the word of God will sanctify us. The word sanctify means to set apart. And so you have something over here, and then there's something placed over here as something different or important. There is a sanctification. And so what that means is when you go to work tomorrow, you can live that sanctified life. There is something different about you. Wherever you may be, at home, in a godless home, there is a sanctified process where as you live more like Christ, there is a separation between the two. And when that happens, there is going to be a conflict where the world is not going to like us. In fact, they're going to hate us. And we read that as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 18 to 20. Where he says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours as well. Let's pray and we'll look at God's word. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you that we don't need to be surprised with the various things that happen in our life. Yet, Lord, we need to respond to the different things in our life in a manner that is pleasing to you. And I pray that as we stop and consider how people deal with us because of our love for you, that we will in turn know how to respond properly ourselves. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, when we live how God wants us to live, we need to understand how the world is going to react. And if they hate Christ, they will hate us. If they love Christ, they should love us. And as John said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Peter said, beloved, this is, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And that's what God says. It's going to happen. You shouldn't think of it as a strange thing, or you shouldn't marvel at it. It's something we should expect. But I know you can hear that, but as you live it, it's a different story. When I went through Bible college, I had lots of different jobs along the 4 years. One of them was probably the most miserable job, I had a few bad ones, but one of them was I picked up an afternoon job sweeping up metal filings in an engineering shop. There was a guy that owned this engineering shop, and he had probably had a bit of OCD. He couldn't stand seeing metal filing on the floor, which is pretty bad when you own an engineering shop. And so I was employed to just sweep. That's all he wanted me to do, sweep these things up so he didn't have to see the metal filing. And so I would go there and just sweep around people and just get the piles of metal filing. And I just kept to myself, and it was a nice time. Until one of the men, he was one of the managers, he said, "So what do you do in the morning when you're not here?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a Christian and I go to Bible college." And as soon as I said that, my whole world changed. He took it upon himself. It was like this fury within him. And I don't know what bad experiences he had in his upbringing, but he made it a point to call me names, to make more work for me, to try and point out where I've missed, to make me look bad. He just was relentless in his torment. And he would bail me up and tell me how Christians are just hypocrites and you're just a hypocrite. You know, I'm thinking, why? And I would marvel, go home marveling at why this guy hates me so much when I had done nothing to really bring it about. I probably needed to hear a message a little bit like that. And if I had heard a message like this and then gone to work the next day and it happened, I would have thought, oh, this is what Jesus said would happen. I shouldn't marvel at this. But often when people react angrily, we do marvel. We would like to think, yes, that will happen to most, but I think I might be able to avoid the circumstance. Maybe you have. Or maybe you are at work at the moment and there is someone that just loves picking on you, and the reason is because they know you're a Christian and they just have it in for you for that reason. Well, don't marvel. Don't think it is a strange thing, because it does happen. Now, I should add, it doesn't always happen. Or don't think if it's not happening, maybe you're doing something wrong. Oh, everyone should be hating me. Maybe I'm not like Christ enough. It doesn't say it will always happen, but on a whole, it can and does happen. Do you think Cain killed Abel because he wasn't a nice brother? No, it was because he was righteous in the sight of God, and so he killed him. Why did the Israelites kill the prophets? Was it because they weren't very nice? No, it's because they told them what God had to say, and they didn't like to hear it. Do you think the early Christians were mean, or they didn't know how to treat people properly, and that's why the Jews and the Romans enjoyed persecuting them? No. It was because they obeyed Christ, their Savior, more than the world. And despite what we get told by the world, how the world is changing, how the world is more accepting of others and what we believe, that may be a reality for anything that is godless, but I'll tell you what, the world has not changed when it comes to this concept. John told us the spirit of Antichrist is in this world. And it still is. And that same filthy spirit, the prince of the air, is still at work today. And it's interesting. You can profess to doing or being or believing just about anything, but a Christian and what God says, that's when you will see the spirit of Antichrist come out in all its force. And sometimes in our world, it may not be physical, but it certainly can be other ways. Our friends in Indonesia, and I know this was a number of years ago, they were taking their son to Bible college, had a stop point. They got asked where they were going. They said such and such. They asked why. He's going to college. What sort of college is it? It's a Christian college. Are you Christians? Yes. They dragged them out and they beat them with rods. That's just the way it happened. That same man who's a pastor, he knew of his friend over in another province. They put all the Christians in the church. There was about 100 of them, and burnt the church down. Now, that was in just within the last 10 years, and I suspect it is got far worse than that. And these things happen because of their love for Christ. And I'm convinced the only reason why we don't experience similar things is because of our Christian heritage. And, you know, that's something, should be something we give thanks for. Praise God that we had Christians who established our nation. I know we didn't start off too good with the convicts, but there were certainly a lot of Christians come through, and the laws that we have and the heritage that we have is Christian and predominantly from England and so forth. And we should thank God for that and be thankful for it. If we didn't have that heritage, we would be in a lot of trouble. Yet, the spirit of Antichrist still exists, even in little old Bendigo. And when Christians obey the world and put it higher than the worldly values, those same feelings of anger that Jesus talks about here and hatred will arise in people. And we shouldn't think it strange. Another job I had at Bible College was I worked in a paint shop. And I got on great with the guys. As long as I talked about footy, cricket, the weather, or paint. All right, talk about paint, great mates, you know, or any of those things. But you just know when the conversation comes up about, oh, where did we come from? And they say evolution, and then they ask what you think. You know straight away, well, I believe the Bible tells us that God created us. And there were some that the fury on their face was frightening. As soon as you start to testify and disobey or disagree with their concept of things in life, that anger is there. The spirit of Antichrist still exists. And because there is a reaction like that, even today, that is where the danger lies for us as Christians. Now, the danger isn't how they're going to be angry towards us, because I believe God will help us through that if we trust Him. The real danger is how we are going to respond to that anger. How do we respond when people turn angry like that? Because as I said this morning, no one likes to be hated. You don't want to be hated at work. You don't want to be hated at university or school. When you're going down and you just want to play some sort of sport, you don't want to be hated by everybody there as well. Certainly within your own home, you don't want to be hated as well. And so, to make sure we aren't, often our natural response is to act in a way that will bring about people's response that they will not hate us. And often that requires us to disobey God in the process. And you know, one of the ways that we can respond is that we refrain from saying anything that's going to ignite an angry response. Now, I'm not saying you just look for ways to cause problems, all right? And you just want to argue for the sake of arguing. But there is this teaching that you be a silent witness. You let them see Christ through your actions, and you don't need to say anything. You know, there were silent witnesses even in the days of Jesus. Have a look in John chapter 12. Just go back there. But here we see why they were silent witnesses. In verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. Oh, isn't that great? But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. So they were very silent about it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Why? For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now that's different. They believed, but they feared. They didn't want to lose their reputation. They knew how they would respond, and they loved the praise of men rather than the praise of God. And brethren, that's often how we do act. We could speak. God gives us opportunities to speak, but we choose not to because we know what the potential response will be, and we're afraid of that, so we don't. Yet our goal in life isn't to have people love us. Our goal is to seek the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness first and do what God wants. Yet fear of being hated and despised often determines our response, and it's one to keep silent. Because you know how people respond, wherever you are amongst the unsaved, do you choose to be a silent witness? And is it because you love the praise of men rather than the praise of God? You would rather have people like you. Because you know that if you can talk about everything they like, you never bring up any subject that they disagree with, they're going to like you. Yet you know that if you mention about Christ, things will change and you don't want that to change. You know, I'm not against friendship evangelism. That's a big thing in a lot of churches, not our church. And I'm not against that, but what happens is people are very big on the friendship, but then they don't want to lose their friendship, so they never tell anyone about Christ. So they're friends, but they never evangelize. We need to be careful that that isn't our response. I will just stay quiet because I'm afraid of the response of hatred. Now, the more sinister way to respond is even a further distancing yourself from what God wants us to do, and that is, in order to be loved by the world instead of hated, you conform to the world and you act like it. And we all know what peer pressure is in young people, how they will act and speak and dress and like the things that everyone else likes, just so that they fit in and they're not picked on for any reason. But we know that peer pressure doesn't just exist with young people or teenagers. It exists with adults as well, and even Christians, sadly also. In their pursuit to be loved by the world and not hated by it, they will conform to it. You ask yourself, if you do go out into the workforce, how many times have you sat in a lunchroom and listened to a dirty joke, maybe even laughed, instead of walking out? Because you thought, nah, I don't want to cause a scene. How many times have you even said something suggestive to get a laugh, just to fit in? How often have you gone to a godless place, which really a Christian shouldn't be, to be with the unsaved because that's where they choose to go, instead of saying, no, I'm a Christian and I don't believe the Lord would have me to go there? How many times do we change our convictions for the sake of others because we don't want them to hate us? It happens. And you know, that is just a shift, you know, where we want to be loved and miss out on the being hated. And we can easily take on the form of worldliness where it's hard to see a difference in us. And this is the challenge. If you have unsaved friends and they love you, why do they love you? You know, is it because they can't see any difference in you? And you have managed to conform yourself to the image of the world when you're around them so that you don't stand out. That's a sad reason to be loved by your unsaved friends. They need to be able to see there is a difference, and if they choose not to hate you, so be it. But there must be a difference if we want to be able to be that witness. You know, what's even sadder is it doesn't even just happen with individuals. It happens in churches as well. The church wants to become more like the world so that we can get more of the world into the church to get them saved, which is a hard thing to do. And I think it's a lie of the devil that the world must love us in order to listen to us in order to be saved. You know, the Apostle Paul, we would know, would be one of the most greatest evangelists. Yet we're told in 1 Corinthians 4 that he was buffeted, he was reviled, he was persecuted, he was defamed, he was made to be the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things. That is not someone that everyone just thought was just a super-duper guy. You know, the unsaved didn't see Paul and think, now here is some cool dude and I just love him no matter what and I'm just going to listen to him and accept what he has. No, when they hated Christ, they hated Paul. Those who loved Christ loved the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't cater to their fleshly lusts or their high-minded pride. He told them about Christ and their need for salvation, and then they were able to respond in a manner as they chose. That's very different to what we get told today. You've got to be like the world so that we can be close to them, so we can share the gospel. You know, another problem in our society today is there was a day when you go out into the world and you evangelize, they get saved, and you bring them into the church. These days, the concept is you bring the unsaved into the building, right, where the church meets, and then you tell them the gospel and they get saved, hopefully. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to bring the lost into our building, and we will attempt to do that at different times with our new building, but that is not the process of how it really works. We go out and they hear the gospel and they get saved and they come and join the church in that regard. If the concept is to try and bring them into the building so they can hear the gospel, well then, which has been the case for many, that means the church needs to cater to the world and give them something that they like to bring them into the building. And we know that they love the lust of the eyes, and so we need to give them things where their eyes are, they enjoy what they see. And then there's the lust of the flesh, and so what they feel, and the pride of life, where they are the center of everything. And many churches have swallowed that up. And I know I've had a couple of people say to me over the past month or two, wow, wouldn't it be great to fill this new building? And I'm sorry if I'm sounding like a pessimist, all right, but you know, the building should hold at least 300, and then if we want to open up the top, there's probably another 200, so 500. And I've said, well, if we fill that, the only way we're going to, sorry if this sounds bad, only way we're going to fill that is if we put lights and drums and get people in that way. I can't see it being filled any other way. Now, God can prove me wrong, and I'm more than happy for that, right? And I said, if we do that, I'm not going to be the pastor here. I'm going to leave. And I don't really care if the church is not filled to the brim, if what we have to do is entertain the people and give them something fleshly to try and get them in. That's not worth it. We just destroy things. Because as Jesus said here in chapter 15, I think it was, if the world love you, it's because you are like them. And that's not what we're looking for. To get people in that way, it means I'm going to have to preach messages that appeal to people's pride, how they are all that matters, and they can do what they want because they're special and God's made them just the way they are and they don't need to change. That's what people want to hear. It means the music is going to have to appeal to their flesh so it feels good when they come. The atmosphere is going to need to be carnal. They're going to have to be entertained because the unsaved want to be entertained. That's what's going to happen. And if you travel around to some churches, you'll discover that's the very thing they're doing. Because if they do live that sanctified life, well, a lot of people are just going to hate what they see. And they won't turn up. But Jesus said that's the reality of it. When they love me, they will love you. But when they hate me, they will hate you. And the flesh and its ways wasn't Paul's methods, neither is it God's methods. And our response to the world's reaction to God's word and God's way should never be conformity to the world. That's what I want us to take away from this. When we understand the reaction of the unsaved, when we live a sanctified life and even speak our sanctified words, our reaction shouldn't be to conform to what makes the world happy. Instead, we should be faithful to the Lord. And so when you're at work tomorrow or when you're with unsaved friends or family, And you know how they will respond when you act or speak the things of God. How do you respond to that? Do you say nothing so that you can just be a silent witness? Do you conform and act and speak like them? Or do you live a godly, righteous life in their sight and speak the words of life when God gives you the opportunity? Well, that's what he wants us to be doing when we have that understanding that we will be hated at times. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that, Lord, you have not asked or expected anything of us that you have not already experienced yourself. And Lord, help us to live a life that portrays the Lord Jesus Christ, that people may see him, and then, Lord, we'll be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within us when they ask us why we're different. And Lord, we will trust you for the response. If they will hate us because they hate you, or if they will love us because they love you. And Lord, we give you this and ask you to watch over us this week as well, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.